Ever wonder how all that plastic stuff you use every day gets made? Well, get ready, because today we're going deep, deep into the world of plastic injection molding.
It's a process that's kind of everywhere.
Pretty much. And we've got an expert with us who can tell us all about it. Not just what it is, but, you know, like why it matters.
It's way more than just melting plastic and pouring it in a mold. We're talking serious precision material science.
Okay, so let's break it down. Can we start with like just the basics? What exactly is plastic injection molding? I get the cake batter analogy, but what makes it so special?
Well, imagine you're sculpting, but instead of clay, you're using liquid fire. You got to have incredible control over temperature, pressure, even the timing to inject that molten plastic into a mold.
Whoa, okay, so it's not as easy as it sounds.
Not at all. And sometimes the details in those molds are crazy intricate, barely even visible to the naked eye.
So it's like a high-speed ballet, but with molten plastic.
Exactly. And what makes it so popular is that it hits this sweet spot: speed, precision, and cost effectiveness all in one. Think about those molds that can make hundreds of parts per minute.
It's amazing how fast it is. Our source material even mentions like car dashboards or bumpers made in minutes, not hours, like with some other methods. That's insane, especially when you need to make a ton of something.
Absolutely. But it's not just about speed. It's the accuracy, too. Think about like a smartphone housing. All those buttons, ports, they need to fit perfectly.
So we're talking tiny fractions of a millimeter.
You got it. And this ties in directly to all the advancements we see in electronics, like miniaturization. You couldn't do that without injection molding.
It's like the difference between carving a statue with a hammer and chisel versus a laser. Injection molding is like that laser.
Perfect analogy. And just like a sculptor picks different materials, injection molding lets you use tons of different plastics, each one with its own unique properties. And this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, the source even talked about that. Polycarbonate for strength, like in eyewear. Nylon for durability, low friction. Stuff like in car parts. I mean, you would make a skyscraper out of the same plastic as a water bottle, right?
Exactly. Each material needs different things for the molding process. Take melting point, for example. Got to heat the plastic just enough to make it flow, but not so much that it, like, breaks down.
Oh, there's a real science to it.
Absolutely. And then you've got things like tensile strength, like how much pulling force something can take before it snaps.
Okay, I see. So that's important for, like, a car bumper, I guess. Something that needs to be tough.
Exactly. You wouldn't want your bumper shattering on a little fender bender.
Definitely not. What about chemical resistance? Is that important too?
Hugely important. Think about a container for cleaning products. If that plastic isn't resistant, it could, you know, melt or something.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So it's not just picking something that looks good or feels right. You got to think about all these properties, like how they interact with what you're using it for.
Exactly. And all of those choices you make, material, process, design, they all impact the cost and the environment.
Which brings up a great point, sustainability. Our source mentions biodegradable plastics and things like bio-based polymers, stuff that could replace traditional plastic.
Yeah, those are exciting developments for sure. It shows you how the environment is really pushing innovation in this field. People are looking for materials that decompose naturally.
So it's not just using less plastic. It's also about making the plastic itself better for the planet.
You got it. And that's where things are getting creative. Plant-based plastics, recycled stuff, even plastics you can chemically recycle back to the basic building blocks.
It's like plastic 2.0.
Oh, so cool. But are these new plastics as good as the old ones? Do they work as well?
It's a great question and one that a lot of smart people are working on. We've come a long way. And those bio-based plastics are getting better all the time.
So it's not like you have to choose between being eco-friendly and having a good product. Not always. Sometimes those bio-based plastics can even be better, stronger, or they break down easier in the environment.
That's really good to hear. I'm glad we don't have to compromise.
Me too. And as we make more of this stuff, the cost is coming down too. It's getting easier for companies to switch over.
Sounds like we're at a real turning point with all of this.
We are. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few years.
The source also mentions that you can make really complicated shapes with injection molding. Like more than just basic stuff.
Oh, yeah. It can handle some serious complexity. Think about a kid's toy with all those little parts that snap together, or like a medical device with a crazy shape. Other methods can't do that.
Wow. So it's more than just making a simple shape. It's about creating things that wouldn't exist otherwise.
Exactly. And that's a big part of why it's used in so many different industries.
I'm starting to get it. But before we go too far, Let's compare injection molding to some other ways of making stuff. The source has this table comparing it to 3D printing and CNC machining.
Oh yeah, that's helpful to see, like, where injection molding really shines.
Yeah, like, it's amazing when you need to make things fast.
Right.
And you need them to be the same every time, and you need them to have all those intricate details. But maybe not so great for, like, one-of-a-kind things.
Right. 3D printing is better for prototypes and stuff, and CNC machining is great for super precise metal parts.
So different tools for different jobs.
For sure. But a lot of times, injection molding is the best choice.
Let's dig into some specific examples then. What about the automotive industry? The source mentioned lightweight and durable parts, which I guess are important for gas mileage and all that.
You're right on. Cars are a perfect example of where injection molding shines. Think of all the plastic in a car, the dashboard, bumpers, door panels. All that needs to be light and strong.
And it all has to fit together perfectly.
Exactly. Every single piece has to work with everything else.
So we're talking everything from how the interior looks to, like, the aerodynamics of the car.
Exactly. And as we move towards electric vehicles and lighter materials, injection molding will be even more important.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit. What about electronics? Those are getting smaller and more complex all the time.
You're telling me, and injection molding is key there too. Think about all those tiny parts inside your phone, buttons, connectors. It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
Yeah.
All those little parts have to work perfectly, or your phone won't.
You got it. The electronics industry needs things to be super precise and reliable, and injection molding delivers that.
So even a tiny mistake could mess up the whole thing.
Totally. Which is why they have to choose the right materials, too. Some are better for insulation. Some can handle heat better.
So much to think about. It's amazing.
It is. And that's where you need both the material scientists and the engineers working together.
Okay, so we've covered cars and electronics, but the source mentioned a few other big areas: healthcare, packaging, and consumer goods.
Let's start with healthcare. This is where the choices you make about materials can really affect people's lives.
Yeah, I'm thinking about things like syringes, surgical tools, even prosthetic limbs. Injection molding is in all that.
Yep. And you have to make sure everything is super clean, sterile, and that's where special plastics come in, like PEEK. They won't cause problems inside the body.
Wow. So we're talking about materials that are basically designed to be super safe, like non-toxic and stuff.
Exactly. And these new materials have been a game changer for healthcare.
Okay, next up, packaging. I feel like that's where we see injection molding the most.
It's definitely a big one. Packaging is all about making things quickly, consistently, and cheaply. And injection molding is perfect for that. Think about all the millions of bottles and containers out there.
It's true. It's everywhere.
And the good thing is, injection molding lets you make packaging that uses less plastic overall.
So it's efficient and good for the environment.
And we're seeing more and more recycled plastic being used too, which is great.
That's awesome. Seems like there's a real push for better packaging these days.
There is. And injection molding is a big part of that.
Okay, lastly, consumer goods. That's a huge category. Everything from toys to appliances to furniture.
It is. And you can find injection molding in all of it. You can use different plastics to make things durable, heat resistant, or whatever you need.
Right. So like a toy might need to be tough, and a coffee maker needs to handle heat.
Precisely. And injection molding gives you that flexibility.
It's amazing how much stuff relies on this one process.
I know, right? And it's only getting better. More efficient, more sustainable, and capable of doing even more.
Speaking of sustainability,
yeah.
I know we've touched on it, but let's dig a little deeper. The source mentioned some environmental concerns with injection molding.
Sure. Let's talk about those and what people are doing to address them.
So we've talked about how awesome plastic injection molding is, but it's not perfect, right? Like, what about the environmental impact? The source mentioned energy use being a big one.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of juice to heat up all that plastic. Those big barrels full of plastic pellets need to get seriously hot. And then you've got all the hydraulics and stuff.
So it's not exactly like a low energy process.
Not really. But they are working on making things more efficient, using less energy to get the same result.
So like tweaking the machines and stuff.
Exactly. And some companies are switching to renewable energy too. Solar, wind power, that kind of thing.
That's good to hear. But it's not just the energy, right? The source also mentioned something about greenhouse gases.
Right. Making plastic from scratch, like from the oil and all that, releases a lot of CO2. And that contributes to climate change.
So it's not just what happens inside the factory. It's a whole process of getting that plastic there.
You got it. And that's why people are starting to look at the whole life cycle of a product, from the raw materials to the factory to the consumer and even to the landfill.
Makes sense. Like, you got to look at the big picture.
Exactly. And sometimes using a slightly more expensive plastic that lasts longer can actually be better for the environment overall.
Because it doesn't need to be replaced as often, so you're not making as much new plastic.
Exactly. It's all about thinking long term.
Okay, so we've got energy use and greenhouse gases.
Mm-hmm.
What about the actual plastic waste from the manufacturing process? All the scraps and stuff.
Right. There's a lot of that. You've got the leftover bits from each part, the molds that wear out.
So what do they do with all that?
Well, more and more companies are trying to reuse that stuff. Instead of just throwing it away, they're melting it down and using it again.
Oh, so they're like recycling their own waste.
Exactly. It's called a closed loop system, and it means they're using less new plastic, which is good for everyone.
I like that idea. But what about all the plastic that people throw away? That doesn't all get recycled, does it?
You're right. That's a big challenge. Even if we make the manufacturing process better, we still need better ways to recycle stuff once people are done with it.
It's too bad all that plastic ends up in landfills or the ocean.
It is. We need better systems for collecting, sorting, and processing all that plastic.
Yeah, like not all plastic is the same. Yeah. Some of it can be recycled, some can't.
Exactly. And there's some cool new technology coming out that can help with that. Even sorting and recycling the stuff that used to be really hard to recycle.
That's promising. It would be awesome if we could create a system where plastic is constantly being reused, like a circular economy.
That's the dream. Less waste, less pollution, everyone wins.
Okay, so we've talked about the problems, but let's get back to the good stuff. Injection molding is super important for so many industries.
It is. It's made so many products possible, and it's made those products cheaper so more people can afford them.
It's like the unsung hero of modern manufacturing.
I like that, and it just keeps getting better, more efficient, more sustainable, and able to make even more amazing stuff.
Speaking of amazing stuff, the source mentioned how injection molding can create really complex shapes, more than just basic stuff.
Oh yeah, it can handle some serious detail. Think about a kid's toy with all those little parts that snap together, or like a medical device with a really complex shape.
That's incredible. It makes you appreciate how much engineering goes into everyday objects.
Absolutely, and that's another reason why it's used so widely.
Okay, so to recap, injection molding is fast, precise, and can create complex shapes. It's also becoming more sustainable. But there are still challenges with energy use, emissions, and waste.
You got it. But the good news is that people are working on those problems. Better machines, new materials, smarter ways to recycle. There's a lot happening.
That's great to hear. It gives me hope for the future.
Me too. The advancements in those biodegradable plastics are especially exciting.
Yeah, it feels like we're on the verge of something big.
We are. And it's important for everyone to do their part. Consumers can make choices about what they buy and how they recycle.
So it's not just up to the companies. It's up to all of us. Okay, we've covered a lot today. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listener with something to think about.
Oh.
What you got?
So we've learned all about how plastic injection molding works. The good, the bad, and the future. It makes you wonder where this industry is headed.
It's a big question. One that everyone's thinking about. On the one hand, we need plastics, right? They're lightweight, they last forever, and they're not that expensive.
Totally. It's hard to imagine our world without them. I mean, they've changed everything.
But then there's the environmental impact. All that plastic in the ocean, the landfills.
It's a tough situation. How do we get the good without the bad?
Exactly. So what's the answer? How do we make plastic injection molding better for the planet?
Well, if I knew that, I'd be a millionaire. There's no easy solution. But I think it's going to take a lot of different things working together.
Like what?
Well, we need to keep developing those new materials, you know, biodegradable plastics, plant-based stuff. The problem is they're still kind of pricey. We need to make them cheaper.
So make them affordable so everyone can use them.
Exactly. And we need to get better at recycling.
We talked about that closed loops system in factories, but what about like everyday recycling?
Yeah, that needs to improve too. We need to collect and sort plastic better.
It's sad to see all that plastic going to waste when it could be reused.
I know, it's a big challenge. But new technology can help. There are even ways to recycle plastics that we couldn't before.
So there's hope for making that circular economy thing a reality.
There is. If we can figure out how to reuse plastic over and over again, that's the best solution. Less waste, fewer resources used.
Okay, so new materials, better recycling, and the circular economy. Anything else we can do?
Well, we could all try to use less plastic in the first place, right?
Yeah, like all those single-use plastics, water bottles, takeout containers.
Exactly. Those add up. If we can choose reusable stuff whenever possible, it makes a difference.
And I think people are starting to get it. They're buying less plastic or choosing brands that are trying to be more sustainable.
I think so too. Consumers have a lot of power.
Yeah, if people demand better, companies will listen.
That's right. But it can't just be on consumers. We need governments to step up too.
What do you mean?
Well, they could make rules about how companies deal with their waste, like making sure it's recycled properly, or put taxes on single-use plastics.
So basically, use policies to encourage better behavior.
Right. It's going to take everyone working together, consumers, companies, governments.
Well, this has been a really interesting deep dive. I have to say, I'm feeling more optimistic now.
Me too. It's a big challenge, but there are a lot of smart people out there trying to solve it.
And maybe someone listening right now will come up with the next big breakthrough.
You never know. It could be one of our listeners who invents a whole new way to recycle plastic or creates a super amazing biodegradable material.
That would be incredible. We've talked about the pros and cons of plastic injection molding, where it came from, and where it's going.
It's been quite a journey.
It has, and we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on all of this? Head over to our website or social media and let us know.
We love hearing from our listeners.
And that's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of plastic injection molding. Until next time, stay curious.